we were about to start a Department number 15, Attorney General. And so we'll continue with that. Don?
Mr. Chairman, technically, the AG has no operational requests. They have one capital construction request, and they have two Section 300 requests, which we will do at the end. But I do believe that an interested member has an amendment to their operations budget.
Okay. Is that you, Senator Hastert? Okay. Senator Hastert.
Mr. Chairman, Don, I guess technically we have Section 15 open. Is that fair to say, or am I asking to open it?
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe it's been opened yet.
Do I need to move that then?
Or is I'd like to move to open Section 15 then.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Section 15 is open. Senator Hastert.
Mr. Chairman, we had some discussion about this in the past, and I've got it kind of straightened out with the Victim Services Division. This is the Victim Services. This is a group that, and I'm trying to find the information where the actual line item would be for the. I'm requesting an increase in Victim Services Division line item by $143,947. And it's Section 2 of Section 15. Don, do you have the line? I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, it's the Victim Services Division line.
Okay.
And we're
going back.
Mr. Chairman, yes, there is no supplemental budget request for this. So it's Agency 15 from the Attorney General's office, and they have a division. They have a number of...
It's 0900.
Thank you.
Is this 900 series?
How much is the request on page 2?
Well, I was going to get into that. I'm going to request, I'm asking the committee to consider $143,947. That's the amount that I've gotten from the Division of Victim Services to provide a raise for the providers out there, victim services providers. Now, just to update, you know, every one of your counties has a victim services provider. And this is a group that has fallen through the cracks, so to speak. There was no mechanism to give them a raise in the past. We provided the executive branch, the state, you know, with our state employees a raise, and I asked what the number would be to correspond with what the executive branch was given, and how I could get the victim services programs individuals a raise. And the Victim Services Division went through that whole budget with each of the programs and came up with the number of $143,947 general fund, Mr. Chairman. So that's what I was requesting. And there's one other point that I just want to make sure I get out in front of. And just so there's not any question in people's minds, as most of you know, my wife Susan works for the Coalition Against Domestic Violence. The Coalition has nothing to do with the Coalition oversees the providers, but they have they receive no state funding, so there is no benefit to the Coalition in what we're doing. This is strictly for the program. So I just wanted to make sure I was out in front of that so people didn't have any questions or if there was no questions about that. So this is just simply to provide a raise for the providers. And the number, as I said, came from Victim Services Division when I asked them just to give them a raise as we've given the executive employees, and simply that there is no other mechanism for them to do that. And I would sincerely appreciate your support on this.
Are there, first of all, is there a second?
Mr. Chairman, just so I understand what we're talking about, these are third-party providers and, for the most part, nonprofits. Is that true?
Mr. Chairman, these are the providers in each county that the state supports. The state supports we provide through general fund appropriation, yes, and I guess you'd say the private nonprofit, I guess, and they but they receive their state. Their funding is a pass-through through Victim Services. We provide funding for the programs through Victim Services.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Burns.
But so these are third-party providers. These are non-governmental, non-profit corporations for the most part, is my understanding. That's what I'm trying to get clear.
Mr. Chairman, non-profits that are under I guess he said yes. The short answer would be yes, but nonprofits that are under the, I don't know if you say under the, well, they must be under control of the state, because the state, we provide the funding for them through Victim Services. Victim Services then contracts or provides them with the funding that we provide. We provide an appropriation for this group.
Mr. Chairman, let me
see
if I can get this clear. Are the employees of these organizations state employees?
I guess technically no.
Okay.
Mr.
Then
Chairman?
Why would question? Yes, Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, just to flesh this out a little bit further, do you know if these are these grant and aid payments that you're talking about, or are these contractual services that we're talking about? Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman, they provide services. Division of Victim Services, I guess you'd say, contracts with these groups to provide the services. And I guess that would be the short answer, Mr. Chairman.
So, Mr. Chairman, that was not my original question. That was just a qualifier, so I had it clear. So right now, Victim Services under the 2015-2016 appropriation bill gets a little over $20 million. And so this addition of 140, and my understanding of that is that's based on a formula to the various different nonprofits throughout the state and how many clients or victims they serve or average throughout the year. Because we don't know how many they're going to. We only have historical information for each. But there's pretty much an average. So my question is this $143,947 that's being moved, how is that going to be distributed? Is it going to be on the same formula as the current $20
million? Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, the entire $20 million doesn't go to that's their line item. The entire $20 million does not go to, by any stretch of the imagination, go to the service providers. They do that. It was suggested that was the line item I use by staff in order to provide the salaries. Now, as I said, I asked I guess the other answer would be we can footnote or just note that that this amount is strictly used for salaries for service providers to ensure that dollar amount goes to them, Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns. So that was when I called and asked the director of Victim Services and said I wanted to provide a similar or the same raise structure that we provided to the executive branch, what would be that number, and that's what she provided me.
Mr. Chairman, if I can follow up.
Senator Burns and then Mr. Co-Chairman.
Do you have any idea what percentage of this $20 million actually goes to these nonprofits? In other words, so we know, is this a 2% bump or a 3% bump or a 1% bump?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, I believe it was. I asked for the same percentage that we gave the executive branch. So, and as far as how much of those dollars actually go there, I'm not 100% sure of the $20 million, what goes directly to. I know that, and I don't have it in front of me. There's a line that's just for salaries, but this is where, they just do the pass-through.
Mr. Co-Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, I'm looking on the biennial budget, and Senator Hastert, I'm on page 136, the Attorney General's budget on Victims Service Division. And I guess I'm asking Don, is this under code 920-0920? It says service provider salaries.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Co-Chairman, that's where the money would go if this appropriation. However, in order to calculate the amount, we did take the 2.32% that the executive branch got in fiscal year 15 and the additional 2.32% that they will receive under current law in 2016, so about 4.32% of the total salary, not just the amount that is in that unit that you are directing. They receive salary funds in other units as well.
Oh, okay. Because this is quick math. That was nearly 18%. I thought pretty nice raise. So, okay, thank you.
Senator Perkins? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, I'm looking at it. So we have looking at that same page, but then looking through the Victim Services Division, Mr. Chairman, there's a number of places that services are rendered. So the 920 number doesn't – it's hard to track that through, but there are – service provider salaries in various programs, but it also includes like the CAPS, which is the children's place where they provide services for children. The children's advocacy program and some things like that. So there's those service providers all the way through. And is it the intent to catch all of those service providers, Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman, I was asking specifically for the domestic violence programs that are out there in all your counties. And like I said, that was the number that the director gave me. So that was, as far as I know, that's for the service providers. And that's why when I was talking to staff about this and how we would ensure that this would go towards the salaries was that we would, as we do, footnote that this amount would be used for salaries for service providers.
Further discussion? Ready for the question on his proposed amendment to Section 15, Attorney General, with regard to victim services. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That motion has failed. Motion to close. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That section's closed, and then we'll bring up later on, Don, the practical skills outbuilding. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
All right, so the next budget for us is Department number 20, Department of Environmental Quality. Gov's Rec recommendation to replace the unanticipated reduction of 1.23995 in abandoned mine and reclamation federal funding with like amount of general fund. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Gov's Rec?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Nolan, I just want to talk to you briefly for the committee. We kind of set up these three avenues of money. We probably, if we want to specifically put it on contingent funding, we need to say that. Not on the current available fund.
Mr. Chairman, I would agree.
Gov's Rec to make this part of all that contingent funding July 1st.
Okay, is there a second? Okay. Is it? Yes, Senator, Representative Greer.
Yeah, okay, so I have a question on this because they took some AML funding, and this is for the air quality program they need to continue with. Are we certain that that component of it is okay to be contingent? I'm trying to recall my memory here. I know part of this appropriation was a continuation of their paperless office initiative, that's absolutely fine to be contingent. But if anyone has a good recollection of, because this is air quality monitoring to work on the regional haze and to have the data necessary to fight back federal regulations. So I just want to make sure we got a clear recollection of that, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion? Senator Perkins?
No, I don't really have. Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess
on.
I do. Mr. Chairman, if you go back and look at some of my requests, this is what's happened. We were funding part of this with the AML funds. The AML funds are no longer available, so these were, as I understood it, these were funds that are necessary for them to continue to their air quality division operations.
Yes.
If I could, I'll restate my motion. I'd like to divide the governor's rec, the 1.2 air quality be immediate, and the 600,000 paperless office to be contingent, if I can get a second.
Okay. And then, Mr. Chairman, following up on Senator Perkins, the 1.2 for the air quality was a swap of AML funds they had somewhere else. So that's not a general fund. I'm still learning how this works. But that doesn't come out of the general fund. That's a swap of dollars. It's the $600,000 for the paperless.
No. This is where, Mr. Chairman, this is how AML funds have dried up. We previously paid for these with AML funds.
This is out of the general fund.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I don't want to hold things up, but could somebody explain the impact data system and why this is important?
I haven't.
I didn't hear.
I can read the explanation of the request.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I mean, part of the explanation was it's because it's a permitting issue. This is an efficiency, speed of permitting kind of thing. I mean, they're trying to speed up their issuing their permits, and this electronic system is a portion of that. Beyond that generality, I can't recall.
Mr. Chairman.
You
know, and I think Representative Greer is kind of coming back to me a little bit. There's more to that story. There was some AML dollars. It was around, Don, you might correct us, it was about a $3 million deal. And is it a one-year deal that we're getting half of this paid for, I think, with AMLs? Is that?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that's accurate.
So about 1.8, I think it's a $3 million bill we're going to be on the hook for after this biennium. And I think you're right on that. You kind of jogged my memory, and I think 1.8 got shifted from the orphan well sites.
Yeah.
And then 1.2. Boom, pow. So. Oh.
Okay, so further discussion on the motion. The motion is to approve Gov's rec with regards to 1.29, and then with regards to the 600,000 paperless office, that be moved to the contingent category. Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? That motion's been carried.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
Can I interrupt with one quick question just on procedure? At the end of the day, will we, on those contingent amounts, go through as a committee and prioritize those? Is that kind of the plan?
Yes. I believe so. I think that's the plan.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
And I too have that question because this morning there were a couple that I would have liked to have put in contingent and didn't do that, so we'd have to go back and reopen those. Is that? And we could do it on the round robin, I suppose, and do it at that. But I think going forward, if you have those in mind for contingent, to have those probably ready, I think would be good.
Does that make sense, Don? How do you...
Mr. Chairman, it does. I think you have to appropriate these things or change prior appropriations that were out of general funds to contingent. Otherwise, you don't balance at the end of the day.
But I think it would be appropriate for the committee, because there are going to be some bigger number ones come out of here that we would need to prioritize at some point in time. And I would suggest, with the consent of the committee, that we go through, if it is in round robin, and prioritize those things on a list so that we know which ones would be funded first out of those contingent funds. Of course, I already know what my priority is, so y'all do already also. So.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I think I understand the Representative Stubbs, and absolutely, I think at the end that would be the time. Once we move them to their categories, and then if we want to prioritize, that's really your point, and I missed that. I apologize. But I also think we should designate them now if you have a motion and want them designated. But at the end, certainly to prioritize.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All right. So we've adopted the motion. Then the motion would now be to close Section 15. Is that correct?
120.
Moved and seconded. Oh.
Section 20.
Huh? Section 20. Excuse me, Section 20. All those in favor of closing Section 20, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Section 20 is now closed. We're now on Section 24, State Parks and Cultural Resources. Priorities. Yes. Okay, so what is the first one, Don? Is it State Museum?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. On page 9 of your printed copy, Division 0200, State Museum, a request for $200,446.
And that is for?
Mr. Chairman, $200,446.
Right. For artifact and artwork conservation. Gov's Rec? Yes.
Move to amend Gov's Rec to zero.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay. Any discussion? Yes.
On and against that, I have some familiarity with this, and they do have a problem with the artifacts. When until we moved into the Unicover building, a lot of these artifacts were kept in basically a warehouse that had plywood for the windows, over the windows, and not even very good plywood at that, and no heat. They were basically subject to the hot and cold of the elements. They're trying to save some of those artifacts now. And then once we did get moved into the Unicover building, then for unknown reasons, they start having problems with humidity and mold and so forth. They addressed the specific problem at that time, but there were a number of artifacts that sustained not so much damage, but damage nonetheless. And so this, my understanding of this is that this is one-time funding to try and to contract out to other special companies, you know, companies with specialties to conserve some of these artifacts, because a lot of them, frankly, historically, are very valuable.
Okay. Discussions. Representative Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, along those same lines, I think because it is one-time funding, this might be one of those things that is more appropriate to put either in the 2015 contingent or the 2016 contingent, and if there's money that comes through, it seems like it'd be a pretty smart use of it.
Okay. We have a motion on the table. Yes.
Mr. Chair, well, are you going to go? I'm just rising in favor of the motion. I mean, they promised the handout when they number one, to me it should be a regular budget request and not a not at this point in time. If you look at some of the artifacts that they were talking about, you're wondering how are you going to spend $200,000 to save certain items. And to me, this was it's a big blanket request and a lot of money without a real explanation of how they're going to go about it, what they're going to do. And if they do hire a one-time person, trust me, this is going to come back and be a full-time position and be a lot. This is just the tail of the alligator. So I favor the motion.
All those, any further discussion on the motion? Motion is the net to zero. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion's passed. Okay. The next request is in Department 24 is unit 2000. Let's see, it's SHPO 225.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Oh, I'd like to move to accept the governor's rec.
Governor's rec of, I believe it is 327?
Correct.
It's on page 12 of your book. Page 14. It's 327, correct, Don?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. $32,700.
Okay. Yes.
This is the 125th.
Correct.
And covering conference fees and celebration of the 125th. Okay. One-time funding. Further discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I move. Well, and I don't know if this can go contingent. No, I know they have flexibility in their budget.
Sorry. So I won't move. I'll just keep this on the current budget. Okay, thank you.
32-7, SHPO Administration Anniversary Conference.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chair, just a couple words why I'm in favor of this one-time funding. It is the 125th anniversary of Wyoming statehood. I, too, have served on the TRW committee and am somewhat familiar with this agency's budget, and it really can't absorb the cost of this kind of conference. But also that I think one of the things that these organizations do really well is Wyoming history. And one of the things that K through 12 students participate in Wyoming is National History Day. And I'm thinking that this could be a good vehicle to get even more kids interested and involved in Wyoming's history. I would like to, and Don, I'd need some help here because I'm not sure we've done it yet, put a footnote on this appropriation as well to ask for the papers that are presented at this conference to be available online. And again, thinking that this would be a real great way for kids to get involved with our 125th anniversary.
Okay. Is that?
Yeah, I'll second.
All right. Any further discussion on the 125th anniversary conference?
Mr. Chair. Yes. I would move to amend to reduce it down to $25,000.
Is there a second? Hearing none, that motion dies for lack of second. We're back on the original motion.
20.
Just a Gov's rec with a footnote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Show of hands, please. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Motion passed. Well, I didn't. I haven't voted. Mm-hmm. I didn't. Huh? Got it?
Yeah, got it.
Motion passes. Well, Apple says yes. All right. The next priority is Wyoming Arts Council. It's for statewide art conferences. I believe it's $25,000. Gov's rec.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Motion to reduce Gov's rec to zero.
Okay. Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, this is a supplemental budget. I would think if the agency wanted to have ongoing statewide art conferences, they would plan them in their general budget rather than bring them in a supplemental. They're not an emergency. Plus, I belong to two artist organizations, and when we want to have a conference or a seminar, we kick in money and have one. We don't go to states and ask for money.
Discussion? Any further discussion? Motion is to reduce Governor's Rec to zero. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That motion has passed.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Two items. After you make approve those amendments, and the last two and this one, the next motion is move Governor's Rec as amended before you leave that page. I've assumed that has occurred on the last two, but I just wanted to point that out.
What did I miss?
After the amendment is approved, then the motion on the table is Gov's Rec as amended.
All right, so Gov's Rec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
That's been adopted.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt. There is another amendment, and this one I believe is offered by Senator Burns. If he chooses to do so, now would be the appropriate time. This actually has two pieces to it. Number one, there were two bills in last year. There was a bill that eliminated an account that was referenced in footnote number four with respect to the sale of gold coins. So there is one portion of the amendment would be to remove that account and replace it with the appropriate account. And in addition, Senator Burns, if you wish to increase any amount or any types of coins, now would be the time to do so, or I could read.
Or you have no Chairman, Don was doing so well. I'm going to let him please continue.
I believe Senator Burns would consider adding of this general fund appropriation, up to $35,000 shall be expended for the purpose of minting and marketing coins. And previously it was for silver coins and alloy coins, and the amendment would also add gold coins and specify that the proceeds from the sale of gold coins are to be deposited in the Cultural Trust Fund. So that is all new language, the gold coins and the disposition of those proceeds. It would also go on to say that the proceeds and interest earned from the sale of the alloy coins would be continuously appropriated, and the gold coins shall only be minted upon receipt of funds by the department from the purchaser, meaning they had to be purchased in advance.
Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman, if I can get a second, I'd like to further explain.
Is that your motion?
That's the motion, yes.
Okay. Is there a second? Representative Stupson seconds. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, the language is somewhat deceptive. I'm not asking for $35,000. I'm asking for an additional $10,000 onto the $25,000 that we approved last year. First of all, there were a few more expenses than they had expected. Part of that was my fault. And in addition to that, the gold coin language was language we approved last year. We're just moving it into a different section. And none of the money that's being appropriated actually purchases the gold coins. The gold coins have to be pre-ordered and prepaid by anybody who is ordering those. And then the proceeds from that goes into the Cultural Trust Fund. In addition, the governor has requested 300 more alloy coins, and the alloy coin sets. If you recall, there were three different coin types, so one for each branch of the state government, executive, judicial, and the legislative. The House members have each gotten 24 coins, and the Senate, most of the senators haven't gotten theirs yet. But there's also sets of three coins of all three branches. Those sets sold out in no time at all, and most of the legislators didn't get an opportunity to purchase it. So we have decided we're going to issue another 100 coin set, the special legislative edition, and the legislature, members of the legislature, will have first chance to order those before we release that to the public. The previous $25,000 also paid for 500 silver coins, of which I think about 300 of those have already been sold. That's the money that, and the money proceeds from that goes to, those are the ones for the 125th anniversary of the state. The proceeds from those sales have gone to the Arts Council. The proceeds from the sale of the additional coins, if we can get this amendment on, goes to the Cultural Trust Fund. It's not a whole lot of money to them or anybody else, but it, but A, they could use any money and then get B, it raises awareness of the Cultural Trust Fund, and C, I think it's a neat way to raise funds and awareness both for the 125th anniversary and for the Cultural Trust Fund.
Okay, discussion? So it's been moved and seconded to approve Don's motion as recited with a clarification from Senator Richards' motion. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion's passed. Okay. Don, I think there's still in 24, there is another rec for state trails programs. Is that? It's 0420. It is, I believe this is for $288,351. Is that correct? And this is for snowmobile and ORV permit tracking system. Governor recommended this amount out of general fund. Project was reviewed and recommended by the OCIO under project, which I do not know what this is, number 22CO2.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Motion on GovsRec that it be reduced to zero.
Okay. So moved and seconded that GovsRec be moved to zero.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is for a computer program to track snowmobile registrations. I mean, you know, all the county clerks have to do is send the information in, and it can be tracked. There aren't that many snowmobiles and off-road vehicles in the state to be tracked, and I don't understand why they can't do it with an Excel spreadsheet or something instead of a $288,000 computer program.
My notes also seem to indicate that this is a one-time request, except that $57,000 is required to maintain the system.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
These permits are not sold at the county level. They're sold at various selling agents throughout the state, just like fishing licenses or hunting licenses. But that being said, I don't quite understand why this would have to be a supplemental budget item.
The motion is to net to zero the GovsRec. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That has been approved. Anything else in 2-4? Yeah, we got park operations.
I think we got them.
Yes?
GovsRec, as amended. Close that unit out.
I got to close this unit by saying the motion now is to...
Mr. Chairman, there's still a governor's rec yet on page 29.
Do I have to do it now? I need to do the motion again, right? Each time.
Mr. Chairman, the base motion is the governor's rec. Representative Burkhart's motion was to amend the governor's rec, and now...
Oh, okay. So now it's need approval of governor's rec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That closes out 0420. We now have 0450. Is this is the governor's rec for $765,513.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Move to amend GovsRec to zero. And there's a bill working through the House that would allow them to take 25% of their construction fees and set up a maintenance account. And that's really what this amount is. And so it was referenced to us, too many construction dollars they have, and they'd like to use some of that. So a bill's already going to fix this. I do have a budget amendment. I don't think it's necessary. I think the bill is going to track, unless members would like to have a dual track going. So that's my motion, is to zero that out.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would speak against the motion simply because I absolutely agree with the co-chair's sentiment on this, but I would prefer to dual track it because of the history of that bill. That bill died in 2014.
Okay.
And so I would vote against this motion, and then we can always kill it if that bill does pass.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm pretty easy on this. If I could amend my motion with the second to include the zero out and the budget amendment, Don, that would really mirror the bill amendment. I think it's allowed 25%. Do we have that prepared? I think it is, isn't it?
Mr. Chairman, it's not on your governor's rec sheet, but I'll read. It's one sentence. It says, notwithstanding Wyoming Statute 36-4-121H, for the period commencing April 1st, 2015 through June 30th, 2016, up to 25% of the funds in the state park's capital construction account may be expended for the general operations and maintenance of the department facilities.
There it is. Okay. Is that okay in my second? Okay.
All right. Any further discussion on the motion? To amend.
Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to understand what we just did or what was just proposed.
Mr. Chairman, zeros out the governor's 620, but allows them to use 25% of their construction money for the rest of the biennium on maintenance.
Regardless of the bill. All right. Thank you.
Any further discussion?
Is it possible to add in unless that bill passes?
It will, I think, Mr. Chairman.
Well, because I just want to have it dual.
No, I think, Mr. Chairman, that's kind of standard language when we're running kind of dual tracks like this.
Okay. Do you have that done? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of modifying the Gov's rec to zero with a footnote, 25% use for operations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion has carried. Gov's rec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I got a sticky note on my computer now.
Motion to close.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Before we close this out, I just wanted to thank the members of the House. When those coins were distributed, when the coins were distributed to the House members, the chairwoman of TRW asked anybody who would be willing to donate any coins back so that members of LSO session staff could get one, and they donated enough back that all the session staff are each going to get a coin. And so thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, so the motion is to close 024. Department 024. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 024 is closed. We're now on to 027, School Facilities Department. Priorities. Now, Don, is this capital construction stuff or that we do later?
Mr. Chairman, you have a bill that adopts all of the projects with the exception of page 35, major maintenance. And I believe that is part of the budget. So currently the budget has $108 million in it, and the governor's rec is to increase this by $7.4 million. It's Department 027, Unit 0501, and the source of funds is the school capital construction account.
Okay. Rick?
Yes.
Quick question. Don, to Don, Mr. Kerman, we did that bill yesterday, and I thought at the tail end there was $7.4 million in there for maintenance. Am I just remembering wrong? No? Am I wrong?
I don't believe it is. And I think at the tail end there was the security money.
You're right.
Okay, so Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That has been adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Is there another, Mr. Chairman, I asked Don, and Don, is there another about to transfer from the 910 Biennium Capital Construction account, or is that, I have that as a, on page two of my amendments, a footnote three. Would that be in this bill or the school CapCon bill? What's that?
Mr. Chairman, it would be here. There are actually two amendments. One is part of the governor's rec, which is on the sheet that I handed out here. Add footnote three to the agency line to transfer $453,846. This is essentially cleanup. The Department of Health did the exact same thing last year. They have the funds available in one biennium, and they need the funds to transfer to the 2013-14 biennium, so both bienniums can close out. It's merely a transfer of funds, but they cannot move funds across the biennium without this language.
Okay. Does everybody have that amendment in front of them? So on page two. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd move that footnote three.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Footnote three.
Was there a second one,
yeah.
Don?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Perkins did. Perkins.
No, was there a second amendment?
Oh.
Another amendment. Let me say it that way.
Mr. Chairman, yes, and I'm not 100% sure which member of the committee was interested in this, but one proposed amendment would be to allow up to 10% of the major maintenance funds to be used for safety and security within the facility needs. Right now, major maintenance funds cannot be used for school safety and security.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Could I ask this? And so the school CapCon bill, this is the agency 27 where we want to put that, not in school CapCon, in the construction bill coming.
Mr. Chairman, I believe it would be most appropriate here because the major maintenance funding is here, and this would provide for expanded flexibility for the use of those funds.
For the remainder of the biennium.
That's correct.
And, Mr. Chairman, the reason I'd move that amendment, and here's the reason why, Mr. Chairman and committee, as we looked at those approved projects that are in the school CapCon bill, none of those were not a prioritized list. Those were pulled off of a component list, which was security. So then I asked for what is the major maintenance balance in each of those districts, and then what is the yearly major maintenance payment. And just the look at it appeared that there was, and I don't want to get into micromanage, but I want to allow districts the flexibility that if they want to put this buzzer on a door or maybe expand out 4 feet for some kind of vestibule or a second door, to give them that ability to do that. And that's what major maintenance is all about. It's district. It has to be approved by the department commission, but to give them some flexibility on some of the security, because the price tag is $9 million in the bill, and I don't know how it's going in the Senate, but this would give districts a year to kind of, and it gives us more time to flesh this out and see which way we want to go with it as a legislature. So that's the motion. I don't know if there's a second.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
According to the testimony we heard the other day, when we heard this bill yesterday, or the School Facilities Commission, the school construction bill yesterday, and I guess my question, Mr. Chairman, is how does that dovetail into the study that they're doing? I mean, the first $9 million that's out there was approved, and now they're basically is based on basically shovel-ready or immediately ready types of things and direction of the legislature to hurry and do this. But then there's supposed to be some other additional study that happens with respect to security. And I'm just wondering how this integrates if we do this or if that causes – or just how the proponent sees that working together.
Mr. Chairman, I think Senator Perkins, I think it just allows some flexibility because that study's going to go on. We'll come back here with another list. Who knows what it will be? We're going to put these standards in our new construction, but it's going back, and
upgrading those. So, but I think there's some small things like that you could, you know, that districts could do, but I don't. That's currently not allowed. That aren't very expensive, and so that's where it fits in. Give them a year of flexibility.
Okay. Further discussion. Senate, Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, and on that point, I guess, you know, what I saw is we did an appropriation for school safety, and that $9 million just was gone. And, I mean, a short order on that list. And is that just another thing we're going to put as an obligation to continue to fund? I mean, that'd be my concern. And I think it's more appropriate that we get this standard in place for new construction, understand from the study what small steps we can take to make our children safer, but do as a good co-chair is saying is give some flexibility to make that become part of the major maintenance on the older construction and try to get away from having to have another funding item out there. That's where I'd like to see us get to. And, again, we've got the Capcom bill going through the Senate, so I don't know how we get that reconciled, but I think this is a step in the right direction.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So, I mean, the $9 million is the $9 million, and we'll all get a chance to look at that and decide if we think that's a good idea or not. And there's probably arguments both ways on that. I guess the one thing, Mr. Chairman, just my hesitation, my concern is simply that as we go down this, I mean, what effect do we have if we open up this gate? At what point, all of a sudden, you know, does that mean that all the new security stuff becomes a part of the major maintenance, and now all of a sudden our major maintenance is going to swell significantly if we do this? Or how do we see that work?
Mr. Chairman, to answer that again, I think we have a little precedence for this because there's just certain things we don't know, and currently we have in statute the 10% allowed for enhancements. And enhancements are all over the board, and we didn't have really any scientific. I signed on as a co-sponsor of that bill, I think, in 2004. I think, and it's found something that's worked, you know, and it's given districts flexibility. But I would remind the committee, too, that all these major maintenance items have to go through an approval process. It's just not a maintenance guy in a school district deciding what to do. It has to be approved by the department and by them through the commission. So there's some oversight on that, but I just want to give our districts a little flexibility. The major maintenance rules are very clear. There's no added square footage, no real added capacity type things. It's the maintenance and bring it up to a certain level and keep it at a certain level. That's how the formula is driven, but I just wanted to give folks a little bit of flexibility for the remainder of this biennium.
Okay, well, any further discussion on the motion? Okay, the motion is to do whatever, huh?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like a little more clarity on that.
Huh?
I'd like a little more clarity on what this motion
10%
is.
Of major maintenance to be utilized for security. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. All right. That's passed for whatever that's worth. You'll do a footnote to that effect?
Okay.
Okay. The planning projects, that's in the bill, right? So we're
Mr. Chairman, you're ready to close.
Gov's rec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion to close.
All those, you can roll.
I can do it?
Yeah.
Motion to close. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. All right. We're on to, Water Development 29. This is $18,653,241 general fund. Recommend approval of that, the governor's rec, general fund for water development commission's portion of 7 rehabilitation projects. Water Development 2 does not have enough funds for these projects. Gov's rec.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move to amend the Gov's rec down to $9 million.
Okay. Is there a second?
Okay. And, Mr. Chairman, on this, as we're looking at this, these projects that they've identified are projects that are have been brought before the board but are still out a couple of years. And so we don't need that full amount in there right now. It's an issue we're going to have to look at definitely down the road, but I don't think we need to be – we don't need to appropriate the full amount right now.
Okay. Further discussion.
Mr. So Chairman.
Take this down from 18.6 to 9 million. Yes.
Under.
Senator Burns.
Just so I'm clear on this, the motion is to take it from 18 down to 9, but you're still talking $9 million in general fund money.
That's exactly right.
For water projects.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd move to amend the motion.
Okay.
Okay.
I'd move to amend that $9 million come out of the Buffalo Bill Dam account, which we learned about this summer and this fall. It's an account over $27, $28 million, I think, just working off memory. Don, maybe help me. And it's going to have further appropriation. It's going to grow to over $40 million in the next couple of years. And statute says, if I just, again, working off memory, that it's an amount for maintenance and upkeep. And what is that amount? Well, it's far in excess of any other dam account, reserve account. And so I would
– dam account.
And that is DAM account. And for those folks who are listening, and – so that would be the motion to take it from that account.
Is there a second?
Second.
And then, Mr. Chairman, sorry, just to comment on my initial motion. When we read the narrative here, we talk about this 18.6 in projects is listed as that the WWDC is aware of several large rehabilitation projects which the sponsors intend to seek funding assistance. So it's not like these projects are there and approved. They're anticipating, that's what I was trying to say, they're anticipating these projects are going to be coming forward. And we had heard of one in the testimony, we recall, that they still had some right-of-way issues, which hopefully they get resolved. But this will help with that problem, at least have some funds there for them.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes? Representative?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to add to Representative Greer's comments, if you look about, it's fourth from the bottom, Douglas Transmission Pipeline Replacement. They haven't, based on testimony we received, they hadn't had an application for that money yet. And that's, they're looking at $8 million. And as of, you know, at least December, they had not received an application. So that would be quite a ways out then.
Yes.
Question on the motion. I mean, we're just cutting it in half. Do we need to do anything with respect to the individual projects that are listed on 7, or are we just going to leave that to the discretion of the Development Commission to do what they think is appropriate?
But I think, Mr. Chairman, to address Senator Perkins' question, we asked that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they said these were in no particular order in the listing. So I guess the answer to your question is yes. We leave it to their discretion, which is kind of their job, is to decide which projects are best and ready and the best use of the funds.
Okay. We have a motion.
Motion on the motion.
There's a motion. We have a motion to amend the motion to which was originally $9 million to take that from the Buffalo Bill Dam account. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted. Any other?
We're on the original motion now?
Governor's rec as amended.
Okay.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Anything further in this?
Yeah, that's next.
Is Gillette Madison in here?
Yep. Page 11.
Page 11. Gillette Madison, 12.4.
The Gillette Madison sinkhole.
Um, Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman, you have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, a motion on the Gov's rec. Mr. Chairman, I would, well, the $12,406,000 we originally intended to pay from AML funds that had dried up. So here we are with this commitment that we've made, and that, you know, we're going to honor our commitments just like we have every other community in the state. And so, Mr. Chairman, what I propose to do to pay this last state installment is to take the $10 million. There's really two large chunks of AML dollars out there. One's in gas to liquids, those kind of projects, which I think we want to leave where it's at because I think we're close in some of those. But there's the $10 million on the DKRW road, and it's in Representative Burkhart's area. And but I don't want to leave those folks hanging out there. I think we want to honor that commitment. So my motion is to pay that 10 of the $12.4 million from those $10 million AML funds. The other $2.4 would come out of general funds. And then also language that if the DKRW project does come to fruition, that there's a $10 million set aside, those same parameters, those 12 things they have to meet currently, and all those steps, none of that would change, but only the account would change from AML to LSRA. And we're still going to honor our commitment that if that project comes through in Carbon County, that we'll still build that road.
But
I'll second that. And go ahead, Representative Stubbs. I'm talking too much.
Representative Stubbs.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I would move to amend that amendment to, on the payback, instead of taking it out of LSRA, put in the 2016 contingency a $10 million reserve that would be used and set aside for the payback instead of taking it out of the LSRA, if you understand what I'm saying. So as we fill up the 2016 pot, contingency pot, there'd be a $10 million amount there that would be the set aside for the road if it comes to fruition.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
Mr. Chairman, well, I'll second it for discussion purposes.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick question. So if we do that, what you're talking about, for example, is the 2016 are funds that won't be available until basically July 1st of 2016, which would be at the end of the fiscal year. And I'm wondering if that DKRW does come to fruition, does that kind of defeat the purpose of the chairman's original motion?
Mr. Chairman, the follow up on that on the flip side is, then if it doesn't come forward and we reserve those funds, they'll be there in a savings account for how long? Because at some point in time, maybe we got to put an end gate on that.
Discussion, further discussion? It's been moved and seconded to amend your amendment. Yes.
Yeah, just speaking against the motion to the amendment, I just think there's too much out there we don't know about this contingent. And I think as we get farther along in the process, particularly on payments for capital renovation, other things that we're going to have to do with that contingent revenue, I think this is a farther out contingent, frankly. And I think we've got other things that we back in the LSRA. And so this is not unprecedented. This isn't the first time that we've backed that. So I would speak against the motion to the amendment there. And because I think we're going to need that contingency.
Right. Is there further discussion? Question on the motion to amend the amendment to the $10 million be placed in the contingent line 2016. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. That amendment's failed. Back on the original motion, which is to take $10 million of AML money that was dedicated for a road to DKRW and $2.4 to general fund.
Contingent, Mr. Chairman, and that July 1st, 2015 contingency.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
That's the motion.
I'd move to amend to modify the motion to strike the contingency that the funds would come out of the 2016 contingency unrealized capital gains, and just leave the most and just amend it so that we take the money. And I mean, if DRKW comes through and if it's there, we'll find the $10 million for the road. But there's no reason to tie it up in like this, and to put the LSRA as a lending account to guarantee other projects. That's not what that fund's for. And if we start doing it, it's going to happen over and over again. So I want to remove that component of it, and we just take the money, and there's no security for it in another account if it shows up.
Okay, is there a second to that? Okay. So the motion is to delete, in essence, the portion of that amendment, which is the security through the LSRA. All those in favor of
Mr. Chairman, I'd like a little discussion on that.
Obviously, I mean, that money was promised to Carbon County for that project. This is an extremely large project. Frankly, the road that's there now will need major upgrading. I'm not sure $10 million will cover it. You can't get heavy equipment across the one bridge that they'll have to cross. And that was a major reason for it, was economic development, and I would argue to leave the money where it is. There are controls on the money. If it's not used, I think it expires July 1st, 2016, then the money becomes available for other uses.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, also I'd speak against that motion to the motion that I think, you know, we've made a commitment, and as the representative said, a large, complex project that takes a long time, very dependent on the political landscape in Washington, D.C., and, you know, who knows the odds that it will happen? I don't know that, but I think backing out of what we said we would do at this juncture is not helpful. And I think by just simply saying that we have a parachute, and it's not a loan on the LSRA, it's a commitment to pay for it. This never was a loan. The AML money was never a loan. It was our state commitment. So I'd hope you defeat this. And we honor kind of what we do, what we said we're going to do, but we're going to take it out of a different funding source so we can use these AMLs for this Gillette Madison, free up general funds.
Further discussion on the motion to amend the motion? Senator Representative Nicholas, do you have anything further to say?
Once again, my point is that we should not be using the LSRA as a guarantor. If why would we cherry pick funds? You know, if you want to promise the funds and save them, then save them and get the $10 million someplace else. But you're just moving dice around, and to me that doesn't make sense. It's kind of what's under the P. And no one is saying anything about dishonoring our commitment if DRKW shows up. I would say 100%, we'll find the money, we'll do it. But we don't have to start hanging guarantees on the LSRA in the process.
Okay. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes?
I think, you know, the commitment's been made to Carbon County, and I think the commitment should stay in place. If we leave it hang out there of we'll find the money, I think that's what we're trying to do here tonight is find some money to balance out a budget shortfall. And I predict these things seem to come about when there's little money to be had for it. And that I, like I said, I would prefer we continue with the money out of AML funds, leave it in place as is. But I think Carbon County was promised the money, and we should continue with that promise and make sure those funds are available in some manner, not just the promise of maybe we'll do something.
Okay. Further discussion on the motion to amend the motion.
Just a question, if I could.
Yes, Representative Moniz.
Don, is the contingency on that $10 million to DAKRW expire in 2015?
Mr. Chairman, it expires June 30th,
2016.
And I understand that all of the parameters would transfer over to this LSRA, including the expiration date.
Absolutely. Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Those parameters that are on there are pretty ironclad. In fact, the last one is a verification by the Attorney General that all of the conditions have been met. I mean, this is money they can't just take and spend. But again, they agreed to those parameters up front to get that money if the project, which is a $1.2 billion project, goes through.
Okay, well, back on the motion to amend the motion, which would basically strip out the back stop with regards to the LSRA. All those in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed?
No.
That motion's failed. Now back on the original motion. Any further discussion? All those in favor on the motion to amend the governor's rec as amended, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, just clarification, Don, at that 2.4 is of general fund that's needed to complete comes out of that July 1st, 2015. That's what I stated.
Right.
Just so everybody's clear on that. Be available
okay.
July 1st.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'll be there.
Well, I think we've done Gov's Rec as amended. Is that correct? Did I do it right this time?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this one does not need a Gov's Rec as amended, ironically, because there is no Gov's Rec.
Oh. All right. Well,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Well,
Mr. Chairman?
A little time out on
time
this.
Out.
As we're designating these funds, I'm assuming I just want to clarify and make sure that at the round robin we have it, we're going to have an opportunity to reassess and potentially reprioritize all of those. Because, Mr. Chairman, as we do this, I don't want this to end up like the mere amendment process where all of a sudden we're stuck. At the end of the day, we really don't know how and what we have to prioritize until we finish this process. And
right.
So I just want to make sure that when we do these, that I mean, that's where we're doing it for now, but it's really, in some respects, a placeholder and subject to change by the vote of the body at a later time.
I think that's what I said earlier.
So, Mr. Chairman?
I mean what I mean, yes.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
What exactly did we just do?
Basically, what we've done is we've taken $10 million of AML money that was dedicated to the road at DKRW and moved it over to the Gillette Madison project. And $2.4 million from general fund
okay.
to fund 12.5 or whatever, yeah, 12.406 for the Gillette Madison, so that's fully funded. And it also has a backstop if the road comes to fruition, that it would be the project would be secured by the LSRA. To the
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. 5 minutes?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. Okay. We're live again. And motion to close. Department 29, Water Development Office. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that's passed. Next department is Wyoming Infrastructure Authority. Priority 0101, unit 0101. Gov's rec is for out-of-state travel for the I want to close that door. That's a good idea. Wyoming Infrastructure Authority.
Mr.
Governor
Chairman.
Recommended denial of that, so until the state wet, so I don't have to deal with that one. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, he did approve essentially $500,000 of 0900 series or professional services. I think this was for contractual studies.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Page 12 of the book. Yes.
Can I make a motion at this time?
Yes.
Go ahead and move to amend Gov's Rec to take that down to 250. And this is, of course, related to the Infrastructure Authority's additional responsibilities with regard to coal marketing. And I do think we need to leave a little bit of money in there for them on those additional responsibilities and the studies they need to do to prepare the market for hopefully opening some coal ports. So that's the motion, 250.
Motion is to amend the governor's rec of $500,000 general fund for contractual services down to 250. Is there a second? Second. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just a question. Was that the intent of the bringer or the sponsor to have it out of that 2000 July 1st pot of contingency revenue? July?
I think that makes sense. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
July 1st, 215.
Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Sorry, Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just some clarification from the bringer. Indicated that request was for $200,000 in fiscal year 15 and $300,000 fiscal year 16. You have a similar division to your recommendation, your motion.
Mr. Chairman, no, I would just put the 250, because I think fiscal year 2016 starts in July 1st, 2015, and I think they can wait till 2015 for the funding.
Okay. Representative Conley.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'd like to amend the motion to bring it down to zero and just see if there's any interest in that. I honestly just wasn't impressed at this point with the department's outlining what their plans are, and in fact, the governor's denial of a recommendation was because there was no statewide plan. The list of possible study areas is pretty amorphous, and I think that it might be better to just wait a year and have the department and the division come in with a full plan and an explanation with what kind of studies they truly will be doing.
Well, is there a second to the motion to amend? Okay, it's been moved and seconded to bring that down to zero. I think members, I don't know if you're privy, but I think we've already lost our director at this point in time. The question is, how quickly can we even move? In my opinion, with regards to the utilization of these funds. Having said that, discussion on the motion to amend the motion.
And Mr. Chairman, just speaking against that motion, we all know how much this has changed even in the last 12 months as far as the coal port issue and our efforts to get coal ports. If you put off even the studies necessary to support shipping of coal and coal ports until 2016, the boat may well have left the port, so to speak, or not left the port, as the case may be. So,
okay. Further discussion on the motion to amend the motion. All those in favor of taking this down to zero, say aye. Opposed?
No.
That's failed. Back on the original motion, which is to take the appropriation from $500,000 to $250,000. Any further discussion? Question's been called. All those in favor of motion to amend the governor's rec, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Next motion then is governor's rec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted. Motion to close, 32. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 32 is closed. Next department is 045, Department of Transportation. Have okay. Governor's rec, approval of $336,000 general fund and $84,000 highway funds as one-time funding for WyoLink. This allows consoles from multiple vendors to connect to WyoLink and provides for competition among console manufacturers.
I move the governor's recommendation.
Is there a second? Okay, discussion. Representative Stubbs.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move to amend that. I think it's friendly, just to move it into the July 1st, 2015 contingency fund.
Mr. Chairman, I consider that a friendly amendment.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion to amend or to approve the governor's rec and to move it to 2015, July 1, contingency, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion has been adopted. Governor's rec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chairman, is there, okay, and then are we on to it? And then it's a different unit, correct? Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. Next.
So excited.
Mr. Co-Chairman. We're moving the next rec is whoa. $54,800,000 passing lanes. Highway 59. Is that it? No, I haven't closed this yet. Yes.
The governor recommended only approval of $21,290,000.
Recommended 21.9 for general fund passing lanes.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Is there a motion? Did you?
Mr. Chairman, I move the governor's rec.
Okay. Is there a second? And Mr. Motion dies for lack of a second.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment.
Okay. Motion.
Okay, I have mine written out, so I'll pass it out. Essentially what the amendment says, Mr. Chairman. The Wyoming Department of Transportation shall develop a plan to mitigate impacts on the state's non-interstate highways with emphasis on highly traveled roads, especially those with truck and industrial commercial traffic. The department shall look at opportunities for safety improvements through the use of, but not limited to, passing and turning lanes. The plan will specialize in safety improvements on Highway 59. The plan shall be made available to the committee by September 15, 2015. The plan will address safety concerns of the communities of Converse and Campbell County and will be the highest priority for the Wyoming Department of Transportation in fiscal year 2016.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion? Second? Members of the committee, this has been also vetted. with Del McComey at the Department of Transportation.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Well, I got Senator Burns, and then we'll...
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to divide the amendment.
Okay.
After the date 2015 period, that would that and everything before it would be Division One, and everything after would be Division Two.
Plan will address safety concerns.
Yes,
is second division. So we're on the first division, discussing on first division, which is everything to two-thirds of the motion down to. The period where it says Joint Appropriations Committee and Joint Transportation Committee by September 15, 2015. Discussion. Senator Burns.
I'll leave it up this.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a proposed amendment to Division 1. And as you remember, the highways that made the governor's recommendation were both Highway 59 and U.S. 2026. So I would just change that one sentence to say the plan will emphasize safety improvements on Highway 59 and Highway 2026.
Okay. Is that a friendly amendment?
Second. Yes, it is.
How about...
I don't think you have the right to do that.
Huh?
I have to do that. I think it is a friendly amendment, okay. Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So we're on, the first division. Is there any further discussion on the first division?
So, Mr. Chairman, maybe for the sponsor of the amendment, so we're looking at this, nothing actually being done on this summer. We're going to wait for a report until September.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I understand it, we have met with the Wyoming Department of Transportation, and they are going to use a federal fund that is based on safety, and that federal fund will fund rumble strips and 5 turnout lanes on Highway 59, and then also the design for the summer of 2016.
For 2026 and 59.
Mr. Chairman, I mean, what would be better off taking that safety money and using it for the design of the 19 identified passing lanes on, I keep in mind, none of this in my district, but I travel both of these roads quite a bit, and so I'd like to see this get into the design phase this summer on all of those. And one of my fears is if we leave this a little broad, on any discretion to them, we're going to have rumble strips and turnouts and not the passing lanes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The design is for the 21 passing lanes from Wright to Douglas on Highway 59.
So Mr. Chairman, I just want to follow up on that. We were told that each passing lane was about $1 million in cost. On average, and that the design costs were between 10 and 12, because I can't do math, 10's a lot easier. It's $100,000 on that. They have enough funds to do all that design work out of their safety fund and to do some other projects?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure what that answer is, but the design work... They can't build any of those passing lanes this coming summer. They can design it for the following summer.
Mr. Chairman, that's exactly what I'd like to see, is get them all designed this year, the identified ones, and then move into constructing them as we can afford them in future years.
Correct.
That's why I make sure they get designed and that they don't have enough leeway to do something else with those funds. And
Representative Greer, I can assure you that was the discussion with the governor's office and leadership and the Department of Transportation concerning how to approach this at this point in time.
And Mr. Chairman, and maybe just because I'm new, I'm just uncomfortable not having that in writing.
This came from the Department of Transportation.
Mr. Chairman, I'm uncomfortable that we don't get this put right down here in this amendment.
Mr. Co-Chair.
We're on Division One, and we've amended Division One. And I, too, Mr. Chairman, I think, Representative Greer, I think we can do more than what Amendment 1 says. I think we can be a little more prescriptive, and I think House members, we have some ideas on this, too, if we want to work this amendment and then maybe entertain some more motions you might like better.
Okay, well, we're on Division Number 1 at this point in time. As it was friendly amended. All those in favor of Division 1 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's adopted. We're now in Division Number 2. Plan will access safety concerns for the communities of Converse and Campbell County, the highest priority, the Wyoming Department's transportation for fiscal year 2016. Senator Brown.
Mr. Chairman, on and against this portion of the amendment. First of all, the first sentence, or the first portion of the sentence, will address concerns of the communities of Converse and Campbell County. That's basically repeating what Part 1 said when it'll emphasize the safety improvements on Highway 59. So that's basically already said, so it's redundant. The portion that really bothers me is that we're sitting here setting priorities for the Department of Transportation for fiscal year. That's why we have an independent commission, and that's why we have the whole entire STIP process and so forth. So I would speak against this in the least as legislative meddling in the Department of Transportation.
Discussion. Ready for the question on
this? Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Well, I would speak in favor of the amendment, and quite frankly, I think it's perfectly fine when you have as many accidents and deaths as we have seen on Highway 59 for us to say that is our priority. And if we are going to use state dollars and we give it to an independent commission, I don't see any reason why we can't do that, and we've done it in the past on other things. This is a huge issue. And it's also the area of our state that puts a lot of money into this state. And for the miners and the roughnecks and the roustabouts and the ranchers that live along that road, we ought to be able to guarantee that by the summer of 2016, that the funds that go to the Wyoming Highway Transportation Department are going to be used for Highway 59. Period.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So I fully understand this motion and the combined amendment, does this mean that we're eliminating the $21 million appropriation from general funds or from other sources, and that this will come from federal, so that we'll amend the Gov's Rec on that, what's the funding source? Well, you said it was the safety funds.
Doesn't say that. Gov's Rec there was not even a second on Gov's Rec, so.
Mr. Chairman, we have also, with Representative Stupson's amendment on Division 1, included the 2026.
Right.
And so that would be my comment on the part of Division 2, is we all understand the importance and how busy Highway 59 is, or I do. I travel it. But we also, 2026, I travel maybe even a little bit more. None of it's in my district, so I'm just saying this objectively. There's a lot of oil and gas development up around Live Site and the Manita Divide, and that road is equally needs some attention too, and those folks that travel that need to have their safety protected as well.
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
I would like to amend the Division Number 2.
Okay.
After Converse, insert a comma. Mm-hmm. Strike and a comma after Campbell County, mm-hmm. Leave and insert, is that Natrona County?
Mr. Chairman, it's Natrona and Fremont.
Okay, strike and after Campbell County, insert Natrona and Fremont.
Okay. Is that seconded? Okay. So the second division would now say, If this is adopted, this amendment, the plan will address safety concerns of the communities of Converse, Campbell County, Natrona, and Fremont counties.
Mr. Chairman, if I may add, we will strike after Campbell County. After Campbell, we will strike county. Mm-hmm. And after Fremont, we will insert county.
Okay.
Counties. Thank you.
All right. Any discussion? Chair. Representative Conley.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'm going to vote against this, even though I understand where the good senator is coming from and his concerns. I'm just concerned about the contiguous counties. What if something just kind of jumps up? Or there's the opportunity for kind of drilling and exploration in Platte and Goshen. I think it could happen as quickly as it did in Converse. And so I think the first sentence of Division 1 takes care of giving to the department the mandate to develop a plan to mitigate impacts. And I would hope that they would do their due diligence and decide upon which counties are best.
Further discussion. Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I share some of the same concerns, and what bothers me is the term highest priority, and I don't think that necessarily allows some discretion on the part of the department. If you lose one of the bridges on the interstate here in Cheyenne, they still can't make that their highest priority. This specifies they have to make these other two roads their highest priority. So... Just a comment. I'm not arguing for or against it, but those two words give me some trouble.
Okay. Further discussion.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
On and against the second part of the amendment, or this portion of the amendment. As I said, we're already giving emphasis to Highway 59 and 2026 in the first portion of the amendment, which is already passed, of the motion, which is already passed. A lot of the same concerns as Representative Burkhardt. But keep in mind that this is money, following up on the question that Representative Nicholas asked, this is DOT money that we're talking about now. They already have a process in place with engineers. They look at all the statistics of all the roads, the conditions of the roads, the traffic on the roads, the accidents, and so forth. And it's politically independent. And I think that's what they should. Now, what we're doing in the first portion of the motion is we're giving them a nudge. Hey, look at these guys and emphasize them. But to sit there and then in the second portion say, highest priority, doesn't matter what else happens, we don't care what else happens, we don't care what the condition is anywhere else, we don't care what the deaths are anywhere else, you're going to give your highest priority to these four counties, that opens a door, I think, to political meddling that a few years from now, let's say 2 years from now, why wouldn't the representatives and senators from Laramie County get together with the Albany County delegation and just say, well, now your highest priority is going to be us. And it becomes a matter of an exercise of political power. And I think this is something we're opening the door to. I have all the sympathy for Campbell County and Highway 59, and that's why I voted for the first portion of it. But it's something else, again, to vote for the second portion.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
On and in favor of the amendment. Mr. Chairman, it just seems to me that Highway 59 had the highest death rate of any highway in Wyoming. I don't understand why it wasn't the highest priority. It makes me wonder how it couldn't have been. So why was it left out?
All right, we're on division number two.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I just want to... The original budget request from the highway department was to address those two highways. So I think we are already focusing on the intent of the budget request. Is that correct? Those two highways. So I think when we address the funding to this, we are addressing those two highways already.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman? As I understand it, there's no funding. As of right now, we denied the governor's rec.
Right.
And it just seems to me that the number one priority of this legislature should be safety.
And we're going to, I'm not going to go into the other things that we're funding in this budget that make you wonder what we are doing. But this is a safety issue. People drive that highway every night. It's unbelievable the traffic on it. And it's unbelievable the number of oil tankers that are on it. I think it had the highest crash rate of any highway in our state. And the only thing that's going to slow it down is the drop of oil prices. On and in favor of the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any further discussion on division number two? Hearing none, all those in favor of division number two say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Let's see a show of hands. All those in favor, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
That portion of the amendment was not adopted.
So we're ready for a new motion now?
We're ready for a new motion. We have adopted the first division.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move a little quicker on this issue. We have that $3 million in the severance tax account that we pulled from the governor's budget last year. He line item vetoed, but you guys had written it so well that it's sitting out there, really. There's $3 million out there, and it's been used for these type of things to help impacted locals. And there's $3 million out there. I'd propose that we take... There's 20 passing lanes, is that right, 15 and 5, that we take $2 million from that. Is that the right number, Don?
Mr. Chairman, I believe it was 19.
19 passing lanes. That's what I had in my notes, but then I was thinking 20, but listen to the discussion. So the 19 passing lanes.
Yeah, Mr. Okay. Chairman, yeah.
So 100,000 for each passing lane, so it would be $1.9 million from that severance tax account. To do design work now, so we're going to appropriate that. Those are general fund type dollars that we're going to appropriate that were kind of asked for, that were asked for by the Department of Transportation. They asked for general fund dollars to do this, so we've got some money we can do this to get the design going right now. Those, and then that's the first part of the amendment, Mr. Chairman. Then the second part of the amendment. Don, what's that number? It's the $13 million because we have a non-compliant DUI law with a half bottle of wine and inside the, you know, the right-of-way. You can pull off and drink a beer, but you can't drive. But
to Tony Ross, Bill.
Tell you what, but we got more on that issue too later. But so what is that like? That amount of $13 million that was referenced earlier in the senators? It's like $13 million, I think. Whatever that amount is, I'll use the amount $13 million. I'm sure Mr. Hibbard probably knows that amount, but I want the amendment to further say that the department can use the $13 million in safety funds or a like amount of department general funds, which we give them $54 million a year out of this budget. We give them $54 million in general funds or a like amount to put towards these projects. So we can get this rolling quicker, as opposed to waiting for a study to and all that. We know, I mean, so that's what I'd like to do is to get this. And I'll just say that, so is there a second? Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, if I could discuss this a little bit, and I agree with everything that's been said. I do. I just think we can move a little faster and get this going, and instead of doing that. And there, you know, I haven't driven 59 from Wright to Douglas in 20 years. I've driven it twice in the last 2 weekends. There's not one passing lane. You go 59 north or 387, they're all over. You know, you're following a big tanker truck. It says 1 mile at the passing lane. So you kind of cool your jets, and then you blow by the guy. But so this is something that I think is important, and I'd like to get us moving quicker on it. So that's my amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman?
Just a sec.
Yeah.
Just a sec.
Okay.
I'm not clear I understand what you're doing. The provisions is related to the open container. I know that Kevin Hibbert can talk about this, but those monies are not necessarily accessible because of the way in which the open container law was written. And so those monies, I can't remember, it's like $2 million or something.
Mr. Chairman, perhaps I can help.
The open container repeat offender, there are two laws. And because the Congress would like to have us have more stringent laws, they divert money from the core highway projects to the safety-related projects. Safety-related projects could be dispatch center consoles if you could prove that that's a safety enhancement. But most of that money has traditionally always gone to infrastructure on the roadways, cable median guardrail, site distances, curve improvements, passing lanes. The Department of Transportation includes those funding in that in a majority every year, and they always have. A very small amount of that gets diverted over to the 402 Highway Safety Program. And that's about $10 million a year that the department gets from those diversions. So they have it in the STIP. It's programmed. It's available for this type of thing if they so are inclined to change their priorities to make it effective for those.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess I would speak against the motion, and the reason I'd speak against it is in our meeting with the Department of Transportation, they seem to believe that they have the ability to do the design work with the funds that are available already, and it's a matter of timing more than anything. So simply saying we're going to put $100,000 to each passing lane doesn't expedite the design phase in any form or fashion. So I'd speak against the motion. Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, and I was kind of going to ask a question on that. What I understood from your discussion with YDOT was that we didn't need to put some general fund dollars in there for design because they had already found the money and were ready to go. I'd like to comment a little bit further. My notes indicate they were looking at 15 passing lanes on 59, and then I got the balance. I had five between Casper and Shoshone at 20 is what they are looking at. I realize 19 have been that number. And so I'm curious if we want to look at, hey, we'll direct that they'll start the design work on that number and get that part done, and then the funding will flow. As we discussed.
Okay. So we have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll also speak against the motion. I think that all of the issues are addressed and have been addressed with the Highway Department, and this is going to happen. They found the funds, and they're going to go forward with it. I don't know if we need the study, or we could amend the prior component we just passed and add in there that this includes the design of the passing lanes this summer if that's the critical issue. But I think the money's been found, and it doesn't make any sense now to go in and appropriate from someplace else we're kind of over that bridge.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
You know, I'm reading my notes here, and I don't have that written. That they said that was an alternative for us to fund if we didn't want to fund the full boat, was to fund the 10% for design. That's why I made the motion, because that's what I have in my notes. Nowhere did the chief engineer that I have in my notes say that they have the money to do this, so they wouldn't have asked for it. That doesn't say that in this amendment number one. Doesn't direct them to do anything.
And there lies the confusion. I think that that folks have met with the Highway Department. They found funding for it, and that this that's the problem. But tell me if I'm wrong, Senator Wasper. I think they found the funds for both the design and the funds to do have the work completed in the fiscal year 2016. Isn't that right?
Mr. Chairman, that's how I took the meeting that we had with him, and I think that's how the chairman took it on the Senate side. At that point in time, by the time we come back in the next budget session, we should be able to appropriate money to this project. Or if they don't, I can't imagine they wouldn't.
Right.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, just one more point on that is that if we do use those federal funds, we're not going to be done in 2016. It'll be 2017. They won't be able to do that many in that year.
That's part of the problem also, as mentioned by Department of Transportation, is once you start engaging federal funds into the thing,
Mr. Chairman.
It changes the whole paradigm. Yes.
Just to remind the committee on the motion, it said that amount or a like amount of state general funds. They do swaps all the time. We've built highways with AML funds that they've swapped around. That's an easy thing in an agency that big. They can swap federal and state funds very quickly.
Mr. Chairman, then yes. I guess my vote would be to support the amendment, just to be safe. And the other flip side of that is there's an expectation within the mineral industry that the legislature is going to take care of this issue. And I think those guys that get up every morning and go to work in the coal patch and the oil fields deserve that. So this amendment would go a little ways to addressing their issues, and it looks like we did something.
Mr. Chairman, the problem with that concept is then all of a sudden, from a directive that we were giving to the Wyoming Highway Department, now we're waffling on it. And it's all of a sudden, if it doesn't do it, then they're not going to do it necessarily, and they might use other funds. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me.
Further discussion on
Mr. the Chairman, I guess you can't have it both ways. I mean, you can't say you don't want them to use federal funds because of all the environmental stuff, but then give them the option to swap them and say that they can. I mean, bottom line is it's putting a little bit of a legislative nudge behind this with a little bit of money to make sure it gets done, and it's not any impact on the Goldenrod or the general fund. That's the bottom line. There's no money to come back and say we're going to put another $20 million into YDOT. Where's that money going to come from? I mean, look at your profile. And so I think we better – there's ways to do this through our funding, and I think, you know, my amendment's a way forward on this. So I hope you'll support it.
Is there any further discussion on the amendment?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Could the bringer repeat the amendment, please?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to take the what I think is the 20 passing lanes, and I think we're in agreement with that. And the 10% amount then is $2 million. And I think we're all in agreement. Everybody's nodding 20. And that amount of design is money we have. That's cash we have, and that's severance impact account, right, that we took out of. It was a $33 million fund. We reduced it to 30 in the budget. The governor line item vetoed but could not pull it back into his fund the way it was written. So there's $3 million in those kind of impact monies out there. It's appropriate use for them. And so I propose to take $2 million out of those impact grants money that we've set aside out of the $3 million to get the design going. And I think it's – and then the rest of the amendment, Mr. Chairman, was then to direct YDOT to use their safety funds, which we understand is $10 million, or a like amount of state funds – to get started on this project. And I think, and don't forget that, so that's the motion, Mr. Chairman. And then don't forget that YDOT works on a different fiscal year. Their fiscal year is in October. So when you're talking with those folks and they say, we can't get it done or this time or that, there's you got to make sure. I think there's a little bit of nudge. I think more can get done sooner. You know, when we had the stimulus package, Mr. Chairman, we were the fastest transportation outfit in the country to put those dollars to work. Shovel ready. So, Mr. Chairman, I hope you'd support the amendment. Thank you.
Okay, further discussion on the amendment. All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
How many? Show of hands. How many ayes? One, two, three, four, five, six. One, two, three, seven. Okay, the motion passes. You have that?
Mr. Chairman, I do. I believe I do. I would go back just, and not to point out, but I recognize the money failed for lack of a second. A governor's rec does not require a second. So to reduce those funds, we need an affirmative motion to take it to zero.
Okay.
Chairman.
Okay. Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion is passed. Anything else? I think that's it on Department of Transportation, is it not?
Mr. Chairman, I do have
two other items. I'll just mention them. They're both individual items. Number one, there were some legislators who came forward and discussed $815,000 for a bridge project in Evansville. I'll pause. Hearing no interest in that.
Chairman?
Yes.
If we could give more information on that, just 815 is the design for it. Is that correct? Maybe, Representative. Is that what everybody?
Mr. Chairman, yeah, that's right. So it's a $4.2 million project, I think, and the 815 is the design portion of that. And this is and this relates to Evansville and the fact that Evansville only has one road out that is transected by a major rail line, and that if there is ever an accident on that rail line, they're essentially stranded in town. And so this is a yeah, this is one of those safety issues that we've been talking about.
Is somebody moving, making a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'd go ahead and move. We've still got a million left of the mineral impact monies out of that governor's letter. I'd move that we would fund that planning, the 850 in planning, out of those monies.
Is there a second? Discussion.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just really quickly, this is what you have in Evansville. If you can picture that in mind, you have that Wyoming Boulevard, Curtis Boulevard goes there, and it transects the old Glen Rock Highway through there. And then just immediately about maybe less than a quarter of a mile further to the north, away from the old Glen Rock Highway, is where that's the Burlington Northern Rail Line goes through there. And then most of Evansville is to the north of that. So I remember when I was county commissioner, one of the emergency drills that we did was that we had a train derailment or with chemicals on that rail line. And what you find out very quickly is not only that the rail line blocks any evacuation of the town whatsoever, there's no way to evacuate the town, and there's also no way to get emergency vehicles on the other side of the track. And so the purpose of this bridge is to provide an egress to the north. It would go across the Platte River and then goes up and hooks onto Metro Road, which is an existing road. And in the last probably 5 to 6 years, there's been probably anywhere to 300 to 400 homes built in Evansville, as it there's a lot of working class folks that work out in both travel to the west out into the gas fields out on 2026, and then also out to Converse County and those things. And so it's been an issue for quite a while, and it needs to get resolved, particularly now with the population growth that's happened in Evansville.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. And do I have to open up anything here, or is it still within the appropriate unit?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, just yes. So I'm clear on this, where are we? Are we talking to the west of I-25 or the east of I-25?
Be to the north of I-25. I-25 at that,
Mr.
Chairman.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, at that point, if from about Douglas until Casper, I-25 actually goes east and west.
And then turns north and again, past right by the event center.
Correct.
Okay, so it's to the north, and it's just a bridge over the Platte.
Mr. Chairman. What it does is there's out in the new housing development there is a street that they built to service the new housing development, the growth that's been there, and it's bound on the other side west of that road, it's pretty much landlocked because you've got Platte River and you've got Knife River has quarries and thing there, so it goes to the north, it crosses the river to the north and then goes up the hill. And Metro Road is actually the road that goes out to there's the Metro Animal Control, there's the fire training, and then there's the landfill in on out to Stuckenhof. By the event center. It's back there. If you know where Metro Road actually hooks into Bryan Stock Trail, where Bryan Stock Trail goes up the road and then loops to, and then makes a hard left and goes over to the event center, essentially.
So, okay. Mr. Chairman, that's on the north side of it. Where would it connect on the south side?
But with the bridge?
Yes.
The bridge, there's a street that runs north and south that runs up to the river and is blocked by the river now. That Evansville can't move any further to the north right there because of the river.
Would that be by Sever Street or something?
No, it's a lot further. Bryan Stock Trail is, if you know where Beverly is, it's
further east.
It's further east.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just to update the committee, too, that, you know, bar none is the fastest growing community in the state. And you drive by Casper, you see it's just houses going to the north. And Evansville, I think, is in the top five. But the bar none problem is being fixed through a metropolitan
MPO.
MPO is what it's. And that is a huge issue because, and I never realized it because I'm never that way in the mornings, but I actually saw it this year. There are cars backed up for miles, and that is going to get fixed. So you've heard all these letters that all this about this interchange on Bar None. That's going to happen. But this is the next big thing in this growth of Casper. We're just up against the river, and it's a real safety issue, but it'll also allow Evansville to keep growing a little bit too. And they're hemmed in by the river, so it's a real important thing to the future of our community there.
So, Mr. Chairman, just for my edification, so the new exchange for Evansville is going to be north of the current Evansville exit, but south of where Northern Lights is.
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to confuse. The interchange is bar none.
It's right up.
I was just kind of talking about two important projects.
Who's on first base?
I was talking about two important projects. That bar none will be north, but this will go north and then head out. The road will head west towards the event center that way and hook up to existing roads.
But how is my curiosity is how is the bar none exchange being financed?
MPO.
That means nothing to me.
Metropolitan Planning Organization. It's federal funds.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, that's funds. Their MPO gets funds from all sorts of different places, but they're pooling those funds. But there's also private money going into that. There's all sorts of. They've scraped all over the place to try to fund that bar none interchange.
Okay. Well, we have a motion on the floor. Is there any further discussion on the motion concerning Evansville Bridge?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Is this a YJAP project? Is it on the books? Is it something they're looking at? What's it on their priority list?
Representative Stubbs.
Mr. Chairman, it is on the list, but it's years down the road.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. I ran into this issue years ago when I was trying to take care of the bypass road between Green River and Rock Springs because there's no other choice when people get stuck in Rock Springs to get back to Green River when those roads close. And this is the exact same kind of thing that was on that we were trying to do is that the bypass road is on the YDOT's list, but it's way down the list, years down the road, and it was years down the road when it was proposed. And what was told to me is at that time that Article 3, Section 27 of our Constitution, special and local laws prohibited, the legislature shall not pass local or special laws in any kind following enumerated cases, that is to say, for granting divorces, laying out, opening, or alternating, or altering, or road working roads or highways, vacating roads, town plants, streets, alleys, or public grounds. You know, this could be construed as special legislation.
Okay. Ready? Any further discussion? Question,
Mr. Chairman, could the same thing be said about Highway 59?
Mr. Chairman, I would say no, because that is the YDOT, the agencies proposed that, and it wasn't coming from a legislator. This is like this is moving alter in their list. But anyway, I just
Okay.
Senator Scott raised this the last time, I know, when these kind of things came up.
All right. Well, we have a motion on the floor. All those in favor of the motion to...
Would you restate the motion?
Mr. Chairman, the motion is to fund the planning and design of the Evansville Bridge, which is $815,000, out of the remaining funds, the $3 million from the line item veto, that is, there's still $1 million of that left, and that's reflected in Governor's Letter 6. So it's out of those funds reflected in Governor's Letter 6.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. All those in favor, raise your hand, please. One, two, three, four, five, six. Motion fails. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have one more item that was mentioned by a legislator, a footnote. When the legislature adopted the 10-cent fuel tax, there were three provisions on the Department of Transportation. Number one, that those funds be separately accounted for. Number two, that the funds be reported to the legislature by the YDOT. And number three, that they only be used for maintenance of the existing system. I believe there is some interest in continuing that footnote, at least for the separate accounting and the reporting.
Yes.
I requested that Don draft that, and I would like to just do those first two, Mr. Chairman. I'm not so worried. I mean, give them the leeway, whether it's maintenance or building another new road or whatever. But I think we want to continue to see, because the statute was written only for 13-14, that it would be accounted for separately. I think we want to, and you heard the director say they're going to continue that, but I think we want to make sure that happens. I think we want to see those funds accounted for separately. So that's why I bring the motion.
Okay. I think the maintenance portion sunsets or something in 2016, doesn't it?
Exactly.
So the motion is on the first two components of that.
Right.
That there be...
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that they be separately accounted for and reported on to both the JAC and the Joint Transportation Committee.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion's been adopted. Anything further, Don? Okay. Governor's rec as amended. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Yes. Turn on your mic, please.
I want to make a motion regarding the Evansville Bridge, similar to the one that's crafted here, that just says that that's a safety concern, and we're asking the Highway Department to make it one of a high priority in completing the design for the bridge.
Hmm?
And just so it's a directive, we don't have to fund it. We're just saying it's a for safety purposes. We'd like them to have that be a high priority for the design of the bridge.
Now, is this a highway? I mean, I think it might be different. It's a city street, is it not?
Is it? Right.
That's the problem.
Never mind.
Okay. So we've approved Governor's Rec as amended, then a motion to close.
Chairman?
Yes.
I'd like to try one other amendment.
Mike?
Never mind. I'll make it later. Thanks.
Oh, you can make it.
It's going to be a different section.
Okay. Motion to close. Department 45. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We have closed Department 45. Says, how's everybody doing? Want to work some more? I mean, huh? Well, it's 10 to 7 right now. We're about halfway through?
Mr. Chairman, we're probably about halfway through the budget. In addition, we have governor's letters, Section 300s, and capital construction. So I'd say we're about...
a third of the way.
Yeah.
And we have tomorrow on a in the morning, we have tomorrow on adjournment. We can do noon if you
got noon open. We kept it open.
We have noon open also. So, you know, I'm at your pleasure. So if you'd like to work some longer here, I know that the chairman would like to see his son play basketball tomorrow night. But we also have Friday, do we not? How much of Friday?
Any time on Friday, morning, 8 to 10, noon, upon adjournment.
How's everybody feeling? Well, let's do a couple more, and then we'll... All right.
Yep.
Okay. We're now on Department 48. This is not like a small one. Department of Health. Woof. We had a call the day. All right. The first priority is Healthcare Financing Administration. This is priority number two, I believe we're at. Is that correct, Don? Page 8 in your book. Provider rate rebasing study, I believe it is, $250,000.
I move the guns, Rick.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
I'm sorry. We're talking about $125,000 general fund matched with $125,000 federal funds?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor? Gov's Rec, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. That is passed. Huh? I got to find that one here. That's a study. Yeah. That's just a study. Okay. The next priority is nursing facilities. Priority number three, nursing home rate model. The governor recommends approval of $4,776,590 in general fund to be matched with the like amount from federal funds to rebase nursing homes.
I'd move the governor's rec.
Is there a second? Discussion.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd move that we modify
the governor's rec by reducing it by one half, which was effectively reduce it by one half.
To about 2 points.
Right. So you reduce it by one half, but there'll still be a federal match of funds in that in an equivalent amount.
Is there a second?
Mr. Chairman, I'll second for discussion purposes.
Okay. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I think that there's no question that we need to do some rebasing. The problem is that when you look at these, this is completely reoccurring money, and so even though there's a federal match on it, it's recurring money, and so this number is already going to roll out double in the next biennium, and because this rebase will go up, and it's not going to go back. So this is the rebase. This will be the new rates paid to nursing homes moving forward, and so it's just one of those things that if the revenue picture looked differently, I would vote differently, but. I'm making the motion out of an abundance of caution with respect to this lottery swell to twice the next biennium.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
That's not the way I read this. The way I read this is actually, well, not so much one-time or recurring money. This is money that is spent every 4 to 5 years, or every 2 to 4 years, for the study of the rebasing. it probably will result in a higher rate for nursing homes, or am I misreading this?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is increasing the rate. Senator Perkins is correct. This,
oh, okay.
This 4.4, whatever it is, 4.5 in our next budget will be 9. Granted, it's all matched, but Senator Perkins, right?
Well, on. In that case, Mr. Chairman, I'm smarter than I was 20 seconds ago.
Okay. Having said that, we have a motion to take it to down one half. Yes.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I want to resist this motion. When you read the narrative, the 9.5 or the 4.7 that we'd be putting in from the state is only 92% of the average cost coverage. So we're beginning a rebasing period at below the mean or the median, and that concerns me right to start with. To take it down additionally or to take it down half would put us significantly below the mean.
Okay. Further discussion? Representative Stubbs.
But, Mr. Chairman, you also have to remember that narrative talks about that's without the provider tax. So the provider tax takes it up an additional amount. So you're not starting, from this amount at least, you're not starting behind the eight ball.
Okay. All right. Further discussion? The motion, you all understand the motion? All those in favor of Senator Perkins' motion to reduce the governor's rec by 50%, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Show of hands, please. All those in favor of the motion. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That motion is passed. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, there are three footnotes on this section that folks have brought to my attention. The first one...
Wait a minute. I got to do Gov's Rec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
That was a test
aye.
In the past.
Okay,
votes. That was a test. That was a test. I'll give you the dollar.
Oh, gosh. I'm feeling good about myself now.
and you took down the sticky note, too.
Don.
Mr. Chairman, the first one, a member has come forward. There is an existing footnote number 4 that provides $100,000 for hearing aids, for early childhood intervention, for individuals who are receiving the preschool DD services. There is a request to no change in the money, but to expand the use of the same $100,000 to Wyoming residents ages birth through 21.
21?
Mr. Chairman, that would be mine. And Don, I'm looking at language that I had here basically saying birth through completion of high school. So it was just strictly catching the school-age children. And, Mr. Chairman, it was immediately after we passed this, it was I've been working with Hands and Voices and what the intent was to have that 100,000 cover a little broader range of kids. But when we had adopted the footnote was very restrictive. And so I'm just asking that we... no money change, and I can tell you that the program, they're doing a great job. They're getting hearing aids back and recycling and things like that, and they just need to be able to accommodate school-age children. So I don't know, Don, if it would be appropriate to say, but my motion would have been, if it's okay, to say hearing aids for, you know, to expand that through developmental age programs for hearing aids for children birth through completion of high school. That would just cover the early intervention plus the school-age kids. That's all I want to do.
So if I understand your motion, though, many kids don't complete high school at age 18 because of the way in which they fall into that, so it could actually be adults.
I'm trying not to mince words here, Mr. Chairman. It was just intended for school-age children to catch the kids through high school.
Okay. A through 12.
K-12.
All right. Is there a second to the motion? Seconded by Rep. Senator Burns, I believe. Is there
a question on clarification? So what I understand is the footnote before, the restriction was that they'd be on a DD waiver, and now that removes the restriction. And so anybody who is help me understand how that works again.
Don?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perkins, the prior footnote wasn't the waiver program, but it was the preschool students with developmental disabilities. This would remove the developmental disabilities component, as I understand it, and make it eligible for any school-aged students, regardless as to their developmental diagnosis.
Okay, so can you tell us, Senator Hastert, I mean, of the $100,000, how much of that's been accessed? What's left?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know the total amount that's left. I know that I was told that they have sufficient resources. I could find out the exact dollar amount, but I don't know that at this moment. But they had informed me that there was sufficient funds to more than sufficient funds to carry out what they've been doing, and it was always they communicated that it was always they were looking for the school age kids. Now I've worked with developmental programs, and I know that catching those birth through fives, and that's always going to be a priority for them. And as I think Senator Burns said it, you know, it'll be kids that are in need of hearing aids. And
okay. All right. Committee, is there any further discussion on this proposed amendment? Hearing none, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Hastert's motion to amend whatever number footnote that was, number four, to include all children of school age, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. That amendment's passed. Is there another amendment?
Mr. Chairman, before we go on, do we want to restrict that to folks, high school kids or kids who are in need as opposed to anybody?
Mr. Chairman, to go through that program to any of the to get hearing aids through any of those programs, you do have to see a hearing aid specialist, and you have to be diagnosed with hearing issues.
But if it's covered by insurance or other things, why would we be paying for it?
We wouldn't be, Mr. Chairman, and we hadn't been typically.
Chairman.
Senator Perkins. And, well, Mr. Chairman, part of the other problem then when we started this, and Representative Nicholas, actually you were the one that helped me with that account, and I appreciated that last year because we have that account that helps provide that. So we took that money from there. And, you know, the problem is most insurance, virtually all insurance policies don't cover hearing aids. We have the Minors Hospital one for the minors, for adults, obviously, but insurance doesn't apply to this.
Mr. Chairman? Any of this means tested? Is it means tested at all? Is the what we're doing here, those that are eligible to get these hearing aids, are they means-tested benefits? In other words, based on their income, whatever it might be in relationship to the federal poverty level, those are the ones that qualify, or is it opened up to my children?
Mr. Chairman, as far as those folks that go through the hands and voices, you know, I'm not sure, but I will find that. But if there was a comfort level on adding that, that there's a means assessment, but I'm not sure to answer that.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just, you know, as we go down this road, I just remind the body that it was probably 2 years ago, maybe three, that there was an attempt to make hearing aid coverage mandatory under insurance, and that was rejected by the legislature. And so, you know, you have this, and Mr. Chairman, there's appropriated money, but ultimately this is a benefit that as you expand it and expand the population relies on it, you will struggle to pull that back and do anything but fund it or expand it in the next budget.
Mr. Chairman, in response, though, I would just – we have a deaf, dumb, and blind account that we just hadn't been utilizing with some assistance. That was just where we pulled the money from. And it's just strictly the interest earned. That's been approximate the interest earned off of that trust account.
Okay. Did that answer everybody's questions? We've already had a vote, unless you wish to reconsider. Okay.
All Mr. Right. Chairman, yes. The second amendment I have, I will actually circulate a hard copy. This amendment would provide $1 million in general funds matched by $1 million in federal funds to increase the provider reimbursement rates for adult developmental disability community-based programs for the next 15 months.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes?
This is my amendment. And just for a little background, we're doing a rebasing for adult disabilities for the DD waivers this summer. There have been four or five DD providers who are either gone out of business, one's in bankruptcy in Torrington. We've lost two of them here in town. And a lot of the ones that exist have had to cut their insurance. The average pay for the staff of these folks is between $9 and $10. In Gillette, they went out of business there because they can't even compete with McDonald's in order to pay these DD providers for disabled adults. There is a bill that is currently in front of the House, which is it's funded with, I think, $1 million in order to study this issue, and to back up a little bit more, there's some new federal regs that have to do with how you have to pay out and take care of different disabled adults. In other words, integrating into the community, they can't be in the homegrown workshops like they had in Riverton at the provider there. At the ARC over in Laramie, a bunch of those, just lots of problems. And so that $1 million, it started out at 2.5. We reduced it today on first reading to $1 million. But those are funds basically to help transition the DD providers. And there's 624 of them in the state, and teach them, apply for grants, do for different things in order so that they can follow the new federal guidelines and regs and implement it. In discussions with the DD providers, instead of spending $1 million on changing over a year, 2 year period, how to implement and effectuate the new federal guidelines, they just need to have enough money to get by so they don't go out of business. For example, CES in Riverton has been operating a loss for a year and a half, for 2 years. And they're going through all their contingency funds. I mean, they're in dire straits. The same thing with several of the providers here that I'm personally familiar with, and that's the reason why the folks in Gillette shut down. And the problem is they simply do not have enough funds in order to pay a reasonable wage for their staff. When we do the rebasing, we already know that that study is going to come up with approximately anywhere between $4 to $10 million that's going to be needed to, even if we come close to funding, what the new rebasing is going to be. So what my suggestion is instead of funding for $1 million, teaching these providers how and doing business plans and things like that on how to effectuate and go and under the new federal guidelines, if we simply give them $1 million to bridge the gap between now and when the rebasing is done, they can match it with federal dollars. And so essentially they'll have $2 million, which will then allow them to do to keep their staff, to raise up the hourly wage for the average daycare provider, which is now between $9 and $10 for all these facilities. And so that's what this bill does. So if you have any questions about it, And then, by the way, then we would attempt to eliminate the bill that's asking for $1 million that's currently in the House for the plan and the that the good representative from up in the Bighorn Basin has brought, because this is a better use of the funds, basically. It goes right to the pocket. It also is going to help then take care of the shortfalls of the DD waiver, or the providers that it's happening right now today. And so I don't know if I explained that well or not, but if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Okay. First of all, you need to move. You need to make a motion.
Yeah, I'd move the
amendment. Then moved and seconded. Now we'll have some discussion.
Yep, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Perkins.
Oh.
Well, the rebasing. All I know is what the rebasing is going to likely do, and speaking with the Department of Health, it's going to be at least probably between 6 to 10 million. And it's not likely that we'll fund all of it, because the last time we rebased in 2000, I think it was 2007 or 2008, we didn't fund it all. But it's going to be significant. And so this is not going to cover all what the rebasing is going to do. If that answers your question.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, you know, have any idea if this, I mean, you were talking about the rates are, you know, $6, $7, $8 an hour. Is this going to make it $6.50 an hour, or do you have any idea?
I don't know the answer to that. We have 624 providers. Some of them go as high as 250 employees. Some of them are one employee. And so what the process will be, as I understand it, Department of Health will just take the total number of dollars and apply it into the current base model that we're funded for and distribute it out based upon those figures.
Yep. Mr. Chair,
just a sec. Is this one-time funding then, or will this be built in as a result?
Well, this is one-time funding. We know that after rebasing that there'll be, so this will be in the next budget session. The Department of Health will come in and request funding based upon the rebasement.
Okay. Mr. Co-Chair.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, that was kind of my question, and it really goes to this last sentence in the amendment where it says, this appropriation is intended to supplement current provider reimbursement rate pending the Department's 2015 rebase study for developmental disability community base. I guess my understanding was that this would be kind of the down payment, an initial forward to the rebasing effort. That doesn't say that here. You know, I mean, that any rebasing would be, this would be counted towards it, in other words. And that was my thought. But that doesn't do that with this language.
Well, and then, Mr. Chairman, I like what you just said, and when I crafted this, the reason I put in that last sentence, is because, as I understand it, the feds need to know that this isn't a one-time expenditure and then you walk away. It may be, but at least there has to be the likelihood that it's ongoing funding in order to get the match. And so that's why I put in that sentence. But if we use the language that you just provided, that's fine.
Mr. Chairman, on that point, we heard that testimony that Department of Health has to show that this isn't one-time funding, that these funds are there. And so the language has to be crafted in a way that this would be reoccurring until the rebasing and then be absorbed as part of it.
Don, do you know?
No, Mr. Chairman. There are a number of ways we could clarify the ongoing nature of the funds in that last sentence.
Yeah, and I'll be happy to work with that and with both the Department of Health and Don to make it consistent with what you just said.
So, Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment to this amendment, and I'd propose that we would increase the general funds and then the federal funds by $500,000 and then make that increase contingent upon House Bill, which I believe was 58, failing, not being enacted.
So if I understand your motion is to take this down from $1 million to $500,000.
Mr. Chairman, I would increase it. I would sweeten it to 1.5. To 1.5, but make it contingent upon House Bill 58, which has $1 million appropriation to it coming off, and then we'll let these providers make a decision what they want.
Well, first of all, is there a second? Did you make a motion? Did you make a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I believe I did.
Okay. So the motion, his proposed motion, is to amend the current motion to take the figure from $1.1 million in general fund to $1.5 million in general funds with the like match, therefore, in federal up to 1.5. But this is contingent on House Bill, whatever it is, 58, passing.
Failing.
Oh.
So just the $500,000 increase in my amendment is contingent upon House Bill 58 not being enacted.
Just the $500?
Just the $500.
Huh? Okay, is there a second to...
That's appropriate.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Is there discussion?
I'm interested to see that, Don.
Okay. Discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor of the amendment to the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just have a
We still got the amendment. Do you want to amend
it? I want to amend the amendment.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to strike that last sentence. I don't think I formally made an amendment to strike that last sentence. And the amendment is to that this appropriation is really intended to be a down payment on the rebasement that is going to come next year. It's the first installment. You'll know how to write it, but this isn't creating a new base that we're going to rebase off of. I want this to be kind of the first installment payment on. If it's $4 million next year, then take $1 million off that because we already, or $1.5 million because we already did it.
Okay.
That's my intent.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion. All those in favor of the amendment to the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. That amendment's been adopted. We're now back on the main amendment as amended. All those in favor?
Mr. Chairman, and that is this entire 1.5. Just so
right.
Okay, thank you.
It's 1 plus 5.
Thank you.
It wasn't another 1. All those in favor of the amended twice motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Whoa, yes.
Mr. Chairman, just a real quick update. I had texted the folks out of the Bridger Valley that had working with the Hands and Voices and specifically asked a question about the means testing, and the answer is yes.
Okay.
On the application forms, they had families and audiologists filled out to have checked that they have checked out with their insurance companies, Medicaid, children special services, and the like. So they do that.
Okay.
Wait, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Wait a second. Mr. Chairman, I mean, but that just says that there's not payment from other source. Is it? Did you mean? But means
yeah,
testing
she also
means
said
based
that,
on
yes,
income.
They do check the availability.
All right.
Again, availability that isn't means.
Ask specifically if they check the parent's ability to pay.
Mr. Chairman, unfortunately,
yes.
we have two more. One is very quick.
Well, we haven't even got to public health laboratory or anything yet.
I agree. They all apply to health care financing.
Okay. All right.
I'll take your affirmative motion of the health nursing facility services. You approved $2.4 million. You have a footnote number 6 that is existing in the law that prohibits a cost of living increase or increase in other rates, barring specific legislation otherwise. I will strike that footnote because I think this is specific legislation otherwise, just a conforming amendment.
Okay.
And then the last item in this program, healthcare financing, the nursing home rates went up. The rates that apply to hospice services did not increase as a result of this rebasing. Hospice services are paid at a rate of $77.87 per day. It is not like crisis beds. It's only if the bed is filled with a patient. And there was a desire by at least one member of the committee to consider increasing that to $125 or some other value. At $125, that would come at a cost of $183,585 general funds.
Okay. Is there such a motion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
That's mine, and I would amend that, except that what I'd do is I'd just make it so that it's a if you remember, the hospice is only at no more than it's limited to half of the day rate that's paid in nursing home care, because it's just a state function. And so since we haven't, as we do, because what we did in nursing home there, that probably should be cut in half as well, because it should just be proportionate to what the nursing home rate is.
So what is your motion?
No, my motion is that we would increase the hospice residential rate by proportionately in accordance with the amount that we've changed the nursing home rate. Something like that.
Is there a second on the motion? Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, if you remember, the point of this was, at the end of the day, and when the legislation originally passed that did this, there was a study out from Duke that had done a tremendous, they'd looked at over 3,500 different cases, found out what, and ultimately from there culled out cohorts, and they traced individuals that were both that died in nursing homes or in hospitals versus those who died in hospice care. And what they found out over the last that there was a significant savings on an average on the cohort of about $7,500 per individual that they saved by being in hospice care. When you look at that, and when that bill passed, ultimately, and just also just anecdotally, when you think about it, what happens is when you're in hospice care, the plan is to make the transition into death, and so that you're not taking and having emergency services drag you down and try and resuscitate you, or calling ambulances and running to the emergency room, and so you're avoiding those types of adventures. So at the end of the day, in fact, when the fiscal note came out, that the anticipation was that it would probably actually be cost neutral and would ultimately wouldn't cost any more and probably would save money. And we've got to check that out, but that was the idea behind it.
Okay. Is this recurring?
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So I understand the increase in the rate, but what's the dollar amount that we're talking about funding here?
I think Don's trying to calculate that.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, the increase that was originally quoted of $183,000 had really nothing to do with the nursing home increase. So if you take the proportional increase, which is about 2.3% that the nursing homes will be given, and you apply 2.3% to total budget of hospice, which is $485,000, it would be an increase of $11,454, unless you wanted to do something different.
Okay. $11,000 for hospice. All right. Is there any discussion? All those in favor of Senator Perkins' motion to amend Section 0401, healthcare financing, increasing by 2.3% rate for hospice, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion's passed. Okay. Are we done with healthcare financing? Representative Nichols.
I have an oral amendment I'd like to make. I'm not sure the right location, but it has to do with primary care support for rural health clinics. So I think that would be about, this would probably be the right place for it.
Mr. Chairman, I believe it's a little later on in the public health.
Okay. Just let me know when that happens.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I guess your question, is this the last one in this?
Well, unless you got something.
I don't. I just wanted to, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to confirm that we have the rate study for $125,000, $2,388,000 for nursing home rates, $11,000 for hospice. Did we address the preschool second year maintenance of effort?
We haven't got to preschools yet.
That's still okay. And Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to, those things are going to come out of, I'm assuming, out of the immediate funds, our current available funds, not contingent funds. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so motion to close 041, Healthcare Financing Administration. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's closed. 0436, nursing. Oh, no, we're at public. Are we in nursing facilities now? I thought we just did that. Are we in public laboratory?
Public lab, I thought. Public health lab.
Public lab. The governor recommends $200,000 in other funds based on revenues collected and new revenue structure at the public health laboratory. Governor's rec.
So moved.
Moved. Is there a second?
Don't need one.
Need a second. Any discussion? All those in favor of Gov's Rec, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Next.
Mr. Chairman, this would be the opportunity. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. And my notes are in my desk, so I'm going to have to ring it a little bit. But basically, in 2013, there was a bill passed where we funded $100 million that goes to the community health centers in the small communities in the state for particular ones where there are underserved for those rural health clinics. And of that $1 million that we appropriated, all of that was in the first tranche of request to the state health department. Those monies were taken. So my motion, and with these funds, they have to be approved by the county commissioner. They have to be in underserved areas, and there's a 25% cash in-kind or match that the local community, these rural health providers, have to match. And so my motion then would be to, via a footnote, add $200,000 in to make available for the beginning in July 1st, so it could be the second tier funds on availability for these rural health clinics to apply for these grants in order for ongoing projects. I know that there were projects submitted, but the funds were the Department of Health had denied because the funds were used up. So,
okay, is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Okay, so I understand it. You're seeking $200 million or $200,000 in general fund, which would be contingent in the as of July 1, 2015.
Correct.
The second year, right?
No, 15. So it would be July 1st.
July 1st,
for grants for the rural health clinics with approval of the county commissioners and the 25% cash in kind as required by our 2013 appropriation and bill.
Okay. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Representative Nicholas, do you know how many communities were served by the original grant and then how many additional communities might be served by this $200,000?
I do. It's my understanding that the first $1 million went to primarily to four communities, Bighorn Basin and Powell and Evanston, the Community Health Center,
But that, I don't know if that makes sense to me, but I was just provided a handout for it because that's not necessarily rural. But it was basically four communities. In North Bighorn County, there was a mobile hospital truck that was that they used for that area. Powell went to the their community health center that's in Powell. Same thing, went to the Bear Lake Community Health Center, a satellite for the Bear Lake Community Health Center that's in Evanston. And the last one was in South Cheyenne. That's where those that $1 million went to. And I don't know where all the other applications came from that were denied.
Okay. Discussion. All those in favor of Representative Nicholas's motion to add the additional $200,000 pursuant to the caveats that I hope you have, Don, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. That's passed. Okay. Next.
Mr. Chair, before we move on to the next one, can I make another motion?
Oh, yes.
Mr. Chairman, I would.
These are spenders over here.
The last one. The Mr. Chairman, last budget, let me back up. The public health nurse program in most of the state, the state provides 65% of those nurses' salaries. There are two exceptions to that, that being Natrona County and Sweetwater County, which for various reasons opted out of the program a number of years ago, probably a decade or so ago. And so they have, over that 10-year period, those counties have paid for their nursing services in their entirety. We appropriated, I believe, and Don, I hope, will correct me if I'm wrong, an amount during the last budget for Natrona County and Sweetwater County to address that imbalance and basically to put them on the same footing as every other county in the state where they would pay, the state would pay the 65% of those public health nurse costs. I think it was more a guess than anything else, and those amounts that we appropriated were short significantly of what the actual costs are of the staffing of those two counties. And so in order to bring them up to the level of the other counties in the state, we need an appropriation. I would move for an appropriation for the state's share of those public health nurses of $1.636 million, which would be split between the two counties, Natrona and Sweetwater.
Okay. And is this immediate?
This would be out of immediately available funds.
1.636 public personnel.
Yes.
Public health nurses. Discussion. Is there a second to that amendment?
Second.
Oh, you did second it. All right. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I Representative Stupson is 100% correct that was never fully funded, and we knew the amount at the time that we needed to do that, but and it was by we that there was several reasons why the two counties did that. They were having a lot of disruption because of having county and state nurses working side by side. It was done, but the Department of Health wanting some input, this was brought back by contract, and it was definitely underfunded.
Okay. Further discussion on the proposed amendment? Hearing none. Yes, Don.
Mr. Chairman, my apologies. I think we provided Senator Stubbs or Representative Stubson with some inaccurate information. We thought there were three counties, so the amount is actually lower than that. I believe it's $1.11 million rather than 1.6. My apologies.
1.11?
And Mr. Chairman, that's, yeah, it's really looks like a bargain at 1.11.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion on the motion? All those in, Don? I'll make sure we get this right.
Right, I agree. And maybe the Budget Office could advise here as well. We understand there are three counties, Campbell County, Natrona County, and Sweetwater County. The original money would provide funds for all three counties. So we just took it back to the two based on your comments.
Are we waiting for some info here?
Or? Mr. Chairman, we need a clarification of what Representative Stubson is. Do you want two counties funded or three?
Put your feet up in the stirrups again.
and, Mr. Chairman, if I can ask a question, just to clarify. So the full, the three counties is the $1.6 million, but it's the same basis. I mean, it is the 65% funding that makes those three counties the same as every other county in the state. So I would make the motion for all three counties at the 1.6.
So is this reoccurring?
Mr. Chairman, this is. This is recurring dollars.
Mr. Chairman, so it's two questions. So it's actually, that's just 1 year's worth. So the biennium, this amount would be doubled. And could you repeat the three counties, please?
Campbell, Natrona, and Sweetwater.
And
Mr. Chairman, it's not a. This amount will not double because it's about 15 months, 16 months of funding.
All right. Everybody understand the motion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, so what is the amount for three counties?
1.63.
Correct, Mr. Chairman, 1.636. We believe that the Campbell County would benefit by 835,000, Sweetwater by 835,000, Natrona by 947,000.
Yes.
What is the full budget for that for the entire state? Do you have that information? No? Okay.
Don, are you searching for something here?
Mr. Chairman, we can look at that.
$15.3 million.
And how much?
$3.3 million.
Sweetwater. 15.3, and Sweetwater County and Natrona County were provided the ability to have them use their savings and salaries, their float and salaries already. So now you're talking about including Campbell, I believe. So they can use salary savings currently for Sweetwater and Natrona.
Mr. Chairman, is that 15.3 figure, is that a biannual or annual?
Biennial.
Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Mr. Chair, I'll move to amend the motion and reduce that by half. So
there's
it would be 800,000.
Was it seconded by you, Representative Greer? Okay. Discussion? So we now cut that in half. Down to 800,000. All those in favor of the motion to amend the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That motion fails. We're now back on the original motion, 1.6 million nursing home, public health nurses, Campbell County, Natrona, and Sweetwater County. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Show of hands, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Motion fails.
Mr. Chair, I bring a new motion to make it 800,000.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor of the new motion, which would be for Campbell.
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify the motion a little bit, is the intended motion then is it would be split proportionally among those counties?
Right. Sweetwater, Campbell, and Natrona. 800,000. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Show of hands again, please. Now he got it. Okay. All right. Okay. So we're now on, did we do the public health laboratory, or did we did do that? So motion to close, department, do I need to close this now? I'm getting too tired. That's not the governor. We did the gov's rec on the lab, so we're still moving on. Okay. Next, gosh darn it, preschool services.
Mr. Chairman.
29 in your book. Gov's rec is...
All right, thank you. Go ahead, Representative Stubbs.
Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment to the Gov's Rec, or proposed amendment to the Gov's Rec.
Okay.
And it would reduce the $1.6 million down to $517,472.
Is there a second? Huh? Okay.
And Mr.
Can you give me that number again, please?
$517,472. And Mr. Chairman, you may recall when the Department of Health came in, so we had the $1.6 million appropriation in the first year of the biennium to keep maintenance of effort. We only did that for the 1 year because we wanted clarification on that obligation. When the Department of Health came back and reported to us because of changes in child count numbers and a number of different things, they indicated that the total funding requirement for maintenance of effort was $69,598,000. We have already appropriated through the biennium $69,081,000. So the difference, what I'm suggesting, that difference is what the Department of Health has indicated due to child count changes and other factors is what's required for maintenance of effort.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
To follow up on that, it was once you raise the bar up, you can't lower it except for numbers of children. And I could, my number was a little different than Representative Stubbs's, but I deferred to him as he knew the program
okay.
much better.
Further discussion? Ready for a question on motion pertaining to DD preschool, maintenance of effort.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would move to amend this amendment, and I would move it up to $800,000.
Okay. Is there a second? Hearing none, that move.
Mr. Chairman, simply because I get scared when we say, okay, here is exactly how much we need for the maintenance of effort. I want to have a safety margin in there to make sure that there are no questions about it.
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, the only problem with that is now the level that we forever must hold and can never retreat from. And, I mean, that's the saddle of maintenance of effort. And so if you vote for that increase, it's there for good.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, in the scheme of things, when you're talking $69 million, an extra $300,000 or $283,000 really isn't that great.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I share Senator Burns' concern, and I'm just curious about, in all honesty, going back to the original motion, moving from $1.65 million in December down to $517,000 6 weeks later, and this notion that this is the perfect figure rather than this $1.6 million figure 6 weeks ago, or putting in $800,000, because honestly it sounds like we don't really know.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Actually, we do really know, and now we know. When we did the $1.6 million, we did not know, because the $1.6 million doesn't date back to December. It dates back from a year, even before that, the last budget session. And we put that in because that was the guess at the time. And the reason we only funded it for 1 year was exactly this reason, because we didn't know. And now we do know due to the child counts that this is what is required to hold those programs harmless and maintain our effort.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and just to add on that, I mean, I'm looking at our chair drive here, the Wyoming Department of Health preschool, a letter from Department of Health on maintenance of effort that is that exact figure, the 517-472-82.
Okay. Any further discussion on Senator Burns' motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That's failed. Then we have the motion. We have the motion on the floor to take the figure from 1.6 down to 517,472. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's passed. So we are Gov's rec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we're done with preschool services. Hospital master plan, is there anything there?
You're ready to close the budget?
Ready.
Well, Mr. Chairman, before we close the Department of Health, is this where we put the Medicaid expansion and Medicaid share plan into a footnote? Just kidding.
Nice try. Okay, move to close. All those in favor say aye.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, hang on. Time out.
What?
Mr. Chairman, very minor thing. On Senator Perkins's motion, we may be a couple hundred dollars off. It may be $12,000 if you'll give us some discretion to get that number accurate.
Okay.
Well, that's fine with me. Is that okay, Mr. Chairman?
That is fine. Well, as I understand, we kind of do some stuff conceptually, but we understand the nature of your motion, and that would be fine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I did have one motion that I spoke to Don about, and it was really about this Part B and C in the preschools. And you heard Director Forson, we administer it different than the other 49 states. And I had a bill draft, and I was going to try to fix it. I just think it. So the Mr. Chairman, the motion is to get a working group or a study group together comprised of the Department of Health and the Department of Education and really come back to us with a report on the best way to administer it. It might come back and say what we're doing is the best, but we keep hearing that kind of from both sides and from providers, and I think we need a little work on that. Mr. Chairman, and your thoughts, whether we'd want a legislator on there or I don't think it's a thing that requires any funding. I just want people to get together and talk about this issue. That's my goal. Don, what do you... Mr. Chairman, we do have that prepared as part of a Section 300. Okay. So we can just do it then. Right. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, before we close, I have in my notes that there's a major issue with Title 25 emergency detention costs that are double what was expected last year, and I'm curious where is the appropriate place to address that?
Gov's letter, I believe.
Okay.
All right. Motion to close. Department 48. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's closed. I think it's time to stop. It's only 10 to 8. Don, anything that we need to do at this point in time? Okay.